Judge Jim Herman for item number 4, Judicial Branch Administration, Court Technology, Governance, and Strategic Planning.
Now, with respect to public comment, I know we had a speaker, Ms. Annabelle Gray, and she's asked to speak tomorrow, or will instead speak tomorrow, to respect everyone's time, and we're so over budget on our time, and we thank her for that. But is there anybody else who has any public comment who wants to speak? If so, raise your hand or come forward. And I see no hands. Wait.
Yeah. Great. Thank you. And we welcome, in addition to Judge Herman, who's chair, we welcome Justice Judith Ashman Gerst, as well as Mr. Jake Chatters, the CEO of Placer, who's coming. There he goes. Mr. Yes, Brian Cotta and
Chairman,
Mr. Robert
Oyum.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chief. Well, you know, we've got about a half an hour to do an hour presentation, and so maybe we could come back later this evening after we... or we'll compress the data. So we'll compress the data and try to get through this quickly. The council has already had several presentations on this. I just want to say that I'm grateful for the extraordinary opportunity to work with a really robust and tremendous group of people that are behind the recommendations of JCTC and the Technology Planning Task Force. As the council already knows, there's been 19 courts that have participated, CEOs, CIOs, and trial judges, as well as 3 courts of appeal with the incredible support of Mark Desmond, Jessica Craven, and the IT staff of the Judicial Council staff. I want to do a special throw-out, as I've done in the past, to the 3 leads, to Brian Cotta on my left and Jake Chatters, and also Judge Slough, who is avoiding the presentation today by being in Japan, and Justice Ashman Gerst for her tremendous work and the input from ITAC, CTAC, public comment, and internal branch comment. And with that, I'd like to turn it over at this point to the next slide. So what we're requesting of the Judicial Council today is to adopt the technology governance and funding model, to adopt the strategic plan for technology, adopt the plan, tactical plan for technology. Luckily, there's not a court reporter here because I'm talking 300 words a minute, and direct council staff to prepare the appropriate rules of court. The council has already been presented with background. We'll skip over that and turn it over to Rob Oyum.
So I'm going to talk a little bit about the milestones and some of the feedback that we've received through this process. So the task force launched about 18 months ago. However, the majority of the work was completed about 9 months ago. So the task force was very, very focused and did a great job in terms of pulling together some materials very, very quickly. So after we had the first draft in about November, we did go through regional review. We had come to the council in December and January to bring you up to date, and then we did have an internal and external review of the documents. The overall process was extremely inclusive and transparent. From the beginning of the task force formation, we had 20 superior courts, 3 courts of appeal, and the Judicial Council staff participate. We had 14 task force members and 27 participants in total. We did have 3 regional meetings for which we had approximately 130 attendees. We did have a 20-day internal comment where 11 superior courts, 2 courts of appeal, and 1 working group provided about 32 comments to the documents. We did incorporate all of that feedback prior to then sending it out for public comment. We had a 60-day public comment period for which we had 44 pages of feedback from approximately 13 respondents. In terms of the public comments themselves, generally they were very, very supportive. We did have several suggestions emphasizing that technology really should not create barriers to access, especially for indigent clients, people with disabilities, and people who needed language access as well. And so we did update the document to reflect that. I would like at this point as well to ask Judge Herman to comment on some of the work that we're doing to align this strategy with the Joint Working Group for California's Language Access Plan.
Yes, we will come back to the council in October with some additional language that recognizes language access so that we are aligned with the language access strategic plan. But otherwise, we're asking the council to approve as is the recommendations today.
Okay. We also received multiple requests for groups and organizations to participate in the input process as we think about new technology initiatives. And I think that that's a great show of interest in the investment of technology for the branch. And so we added some language and basically encouraged people to provide input through public open meetings and as well through liaisons that could participate in advisory committees as well. And then finally, two commentators from the public recognized that we really need to have funding for technology for the judicial branch in order for these recommendations and the strategic plan to really be successful. So at this point, what I'd like to do is I'd ask Jake Chatters to start talking a little bit about the recommendations focused on governance.
Thank you, Rob. So as we approach the strategic plan, let me back up a step and say, speaking fast is not a difficulty for me, and so I will, as Judge Lockup can attest, so I will try and keep it slow despite our press time. What we tried to look at on the strategic planning side through the whole process is to make sure that every document was building upon the one above it. And so we took a waterfall approach that the goals for the branch, as documented in the strategic plan adopted by the Judicial Council, feed the goals for technology, which then results in a strategic plan for technology, which feed technology initiatives or projects, which are listed in the tactical plan to guide us over the next 2 years. And quickly in that process, we understood that we need to develop a vision for why and how we want to use technology. And technology for technology's sake is not important. It's not useful. And that vision, which we have recommended to you, is in our recommendations and focuses on collaboration, initiative, innovation, balancing branch and local needs, and that ultimately technology is about increasing access to justice and expanding and enhancing services through for all of our constituent groups. We're also recommending an expansion to the existing technology principles to reinforce the elements of this vision, specifically to highlight our need for technology standards, look for opportunities for collaboration among courts and between courts, preserve local decision-making as appropriate, and create an environment that encourages innovation throughout the branch. The common vision as we walked through this process made us realize that we are too varied a branch with too varied of projects to have a single governance model that deals with every single technology project. So, we identified five different types of initiatives that exist in our branch. I'm going to start in the center and work out. So we have local programs. Local programs are exactly what they sound like. They're done locally. They're meant to be to impact local constituents and are often spent with local money. There are local extensions of programs that we develop statewide. So in the event that we have a statewide program, someone may want to make something that works for their local constituency, their local judges, their staff, and we want to allow for that with some level of governance. There are consortium programs where there are collaboratives between multiple organizations. There's branch-wide standards and guidelines where this body wants to say, you want to do that project, that's great, but here are the rules you need to follow in doing it. And finally, the highest level are branch programs and solutions, which are actually applications or other technologies that we all use collectively. So in the recommendation is a varied governance structure for each of these that identifies that there's a different level of branch-wide oversight that is necessary as you work through these various projects or programs. A key tenet of that is focusing on the courts as innovation centers, whether they're the appellate courts, the trial courts, or even the Supreme Court, that local innovation centers are what will drive technology acceptance. They result in the best technology adoption and increase our probability for successful implementation. We take that, too, from what we see now in applications, right? Whether we're using our iPad or iPhone, I'm using an Android tablet, a lot of technology is moving towards solving single-life problems. And while we aren't Apple or Google, and we have a much more complicated database, we want to move towards a structure that mimics that and looks at trying to get fast, impactful projects done that solve single business problems. So part of that is this concept of a work stream, which is intended to be a very tightly focused scope that looks at a single issue, generally speaking, that pulls on our entire IT community, whether they're from the Judicial Council staff, they're from local trial courts, they're from the appellate court, and it leverages all of that great expertise to deliver products that benefit all of us. Those projects are led by an executive sponsor that then develops a team from these as appropriate from these various entities and is governed largely based on who's spending the money. And that leads to a natural question, which is who is the executive sponsor? So I will turn that over to Justice Ashman-Gerst.
going back just a little bit, so the current structure for technology governance stems from Rule Accord 10.16, which creates the Judicial Council Technology Committee, which I'll just call the JCTC, and that oversees the council policies regarding information technology. The JCTC ensures that council policies are complied with, that specific projects proceed on schedule and within the scope of budget. One of the advisory committees that the JCTC oversees has been CTAC, Core Technology Advisory Committee. But tech governance for the branch has not been uniform. Multiple models have been used over the past decade, including the CCMS initiative, steering committees separate from CTAC, appellate working groups, etc. Some were governed directly by CTAC and others were not. So this varied approach obviously became a concern, and there was also the perception that appellate and trial court voices were getting lost in the process. In 2012, the JCTC initiated this new concept for project governance and created the Technology Initiatives Working Group, and as Jake said, that focused on the use of work streams. The concept was very successful, showed us that projects could be completed rapidly with branch-wide participation. So the success of that approach was taken into consideration in the development of the technology strategic plan that we're talking about today. Another key goal was to ensure greater participation and buy-in from the courts and from branch stakeholders. We explore the elimination of CTAC and the creation of subcommittees within the JCTC. But that model also became complicated with the governance track deciding that the JCTC should continue to receive input from a technology advisory committee. The JCTC could then consider the recommendations along with input from other groups such as the APJ's advisory committee, trial court PJ's advisory committee, court execs advisory committee, etc. So what's in a name? We intend to accomplish two goals. One, changing the name would highlight that there is actually a change being made to the charge and to the function of the advisory committee. Secondly, it would clarify that the role is focused on information technology for the entire branch, that it's not limited to just to the work of the courts. Projects may also support the needs of those within the justice community, but external to the individual courts. But the new name also makes clear that it is not involved in facility or other technologies that are within the scope of other communities. To accomplish this process, we need to change Rule 10.53. Although the new ITAC will continue to prepare annual agendas that will be approved by JCTC. Next, in leveraging the success of the work streams, ITAC members will be asked to act as an effective sponsor, which was just mentioned as well by Jake. Again, I just want to emphasize that the sponsors will not be project managers, but will assume an overall executive responsibility and provide status updates to ITAC and the JCTC as requested. The best example I can give to you of this is when I was chairing the Appellate E-Filing Working Group. Our focus was on rule changes to allow various appellate district courts to begin pilot projects on e-filing if they wanted to do it. I had the responsibility for gathering the subject matter experts from judicial officers, lawyers with expertise in the area, and council staff. My role was to coordinate, to keep a time frame, and to involve the necessary advisory committee, not to actually get in there and fiddle around with wires myself. So we're also going to be recommending that appointments to ITAC come from a broad array of individuals who are willing and able to assume this kind of a sponsorship role. And hopefully it's clear, this is all clear from the next slide. And so then just to summarize with the following slide, ITAC sponsors technology initiatives that require branch resources or funding. ITAC members act as executive sponsors. Initiatives can be managed through any of these approaches, a workstream approach, a traditional approach, or a hybrid. And of course we can answer questions on the specifics if you have any questions about that. The executive sponsor will ID a project manager and assemble the team, and the team members will come from throughout the branch.
Good afternoon. I'm going to take you into the strategic and tactical plan content. The task force is proposing four overall technology goals for the branch focused on digital court, improving access to justice and efficiencies through technology, a goal to optimize our branch resources focused on collaboration, professional development, and leveraging procurements, a goal to optimize our infrastructure in support of the digital core goal, which includes our network and ability to recover from a disaster, and a goal to modernize rules and legislation to support the use of technology. We've seen that many local court technology initiatives are often delayed or impeded by existing unclear or limiting rules preventing the use of technology in specific areas that could benefit the most from it. While technology deployment and implementation typically focuses on providing new capabilities, our principle to ensure access and fairness must always be considered. Technology solutions should not create barriers to access for indigent clients, people with disabilities, and those who need language assistance. This principle does not imply that technology solutions shall be avoided, but rather that they should be fully accessible. So looking into the various goals, you'll see goal number one here, promoting the digital core. We're proposing a set of initiatives for our first two-year tactical plan covering all four goals, but primarily focused on establishing the digital core. And you can see that by the number of IT initiatives supported in the grid on the screen. Other initiatives and subsequent tactical plans will independently continue to help support the digital core goal and improve efficiencies. The initiatives within the first two-year tactical plan shown here will require precise planning, analysis, and efforts for many to ensure solidity and refinement of the end results. The tactical plan provides a way to focus efforts on a set of common branch-wide initiatives, eliminating redundancy, and it creates critical mass. In respect to goal number two, optimizing branch resources, the focus for 2014 to 2016, or the first two-year tactical plan, is to establish master agreements with various vendors to reduce overall cost to the branch. Looking into goal number three, again for the first two-year tactical plan on optimizing infrastructure, the focus is supporting the digital core and focusing on the core of technology operations for the first two-year tactical plan. Goal number four, promoting rule and legislative changes. First tactical plan initiatives will be to continue to identify areas to introduce or modify rules and legislation to support the strategic and tactical plans. Past examples include rules and pilot initiatives for e-filing and video, for example. Current activities are focused on digital signatures. You can see here, if you look to the left in looking at the screens, there's a grid on the left. And what we've done is we've mapped the goals of the proposed strategic plan for technology against the judicial branch strategic plan to ensure critical alignment. And you can see that all the goals of the strategic plan for technology support the number one goal for the overall branch of access, fairness, and diversity. On the grid on the right, you can see that we've mapped the goals of the proposed strategic plan for technology against the California Department of Technology's strategic plan. And you can see some key and critical areas that are spot on there as well. And Rob, turn it to you.
Great. Another piece of output from the task force was a proposed project prioritization matrix. And so this was developed to help the technology governance bodies to evaluate different projects, to prioritize them and rate them. We used this actually in a pilot in November 2013 to evaluate some requests for BCP funding. And so all trial courts had a chance to participate. 14 courts actually submitted proposals, and the technology committee used this matrix to evaluate those proposals and selected six proposals to actually be included in the BCP. We did receive some feedback from the courts so that we can continually evolve this tool. But this is one of the tools to help to improve the transparency of the management of technology, funding, and technology within the branch. At this point, I'll hand it off to Justice Ashman Gerst, who's going to summarize the recommendations so far.
As far as the governance goes, just as an overview, we adopted a vision in which we focused on the previously adopted guiding principles, and you'll find those in your materials. I won't go over them right now. The original 10 described the branch's overall goals for technology. The additional 4 describe how those goals can be realized. And we recommend, as I mentioned before, restructuring CTAC into ITAC. So we now are presenting a governance plan that we feel encourages innovation and a clear process for project prioritization. It focuses on which decisions need to be made, who's involved in making them, how they're going to be made, and how the results are going to be monitored. Jake, you want to fill in gaps?
Oh, perfect.
All right, moving on to funding categories. And before I get there, Brian reminded me that I forgot to recognize Rob O'Young, which is a major issue, because Rob, as the project manager for this whole effort, has just been extraordinary, put in an extraordinary amount of time with extraordinary expertise, and has really taught me what a project manager is all about at the ground level. And I'm grateful to Rob for his efforts, as well as to the Santa Clara Court for lending us his services. So thank you so much for that.
Judge Herman, that was noted, by the way. We're going to have a chat afterward.
Oh, about the compensation, the compensation piece of the bill? All right. So at any rate, similar to the way we're categorizing initiatives so that we can manage the initiatives appropriately, we are proposing a model for managing different types of technology funds. There will be different governance models, funding sources, and allocation models for branch-wide initiatives, operational expenses, and upgrades. And we're also proposing an innovation and improvement fund where we will set aside a small amount of money for technology experimentation and innovation. And I would add that in presentations to presiding judges committee and SEAC, they were very enthused and excited about this idea. The categories in blue are managed at the branch level. Categories in orange are managed at the local court level. And the proposed innovation and improvement fund can be sourced and managed at either level. And from public feedback, we got the idea of developing the equivalent of an R&D budget for the branch and fund it with the equivalent of 10 to 15% of technology operations budget. Moving to the next slide, we have done the funding track, but the problem is, where does the money come from? Because it's a zero-sum game at this point. We've got the trial court trust fund, we've got the IMF, which is in deficit balance, and of course we didn't even this year meet the tread water level that we requested of the Department of Finance. I was somewhat encouraged by Mr. Cohen's acknowledgement that in order for us to create efficiencies, it's important to fund technology. So we'll see where that leads go forward in terms of requests for budget change proposals for various branch level initiatives as well as local court initiatives. You know, frankly, we are with the 1% fund balance, which looks like it's going to continue. The local courts are in a very difficult position in terms of any capital improvements. It's, at this point, it's merely being able to deal with at the operational level with ongoing costs. You know, we have over 30 courts at this point that are upgrading their case management systems, but that's primarily because of the consequence of the necessity to burn down to the 1% fund balance at the end of this year and go forward. It's just unclear what funding there will be in order for us to appropriately carry forward with our strategic plan, tactical plan in the future. So the end point is this. The expected outcomes are these. First of all, I want to acknowledge the Chief Justice and thank you very much for authorizing and appointing this effort by the task force. We have aligned our planning documents in support of your Access 3D physical, remote, and equal access.
Let me interject. Thank you all for taking this on for all of the reports. I just interject briefly because it's a huge task and you really took a deep, deep dive. Thank you.
You're welcome, Chief, and thank you again, and thanks to the Council for your support. While technology deployment and implementation typically focuses on providing new capabilities, our principle to ensure access and fairness must always be considered. technology solutions should not create barriers to access for indigent clients, people with disabilities, and those with needing language assistance. And this principle does not imply that technology solutions should be avoided, but rather that they should be fully accessible. And once we implement the proposed governance model, strategic plan, and funding model, we expect to have, again, support for your Access 3D, a clear shared direction for our technology initiatives, a transparent model for managing and allocating technology funds, increased credibility with our sister branches, which was a primary driver in terms of our need to develop the planning documents that we have brought to the Council today, more consistent services across the courts, and a better accountability for the use of resources and public funds. And we believe that we can realize these outcomes by working collaboratively as an IT community. So any comments, additional comments by the project leads? I'm proud that we did compress the data. And, we actually brought it in 10 minutes early. So any questions or observations first from project leads, and then?
I'm going to jump in here and say that I'm going to, because there was a public speaker who wished to make comment on this area, I'm going to defer until tomorrow morning all questions, comments on these recommendations and any motions in light of our commitment to the public speaker before we act on this.
All right.
And so we will put this in abeyance until tomorrow. Unless there's any closing comments that the panel would like to present, Brian?
I just had one. I wanted to give thanks certainly to Justice Herman, the other track leads, and Rob.
Thanks for the battlefield promotion.
But I also wanted, I think we all owe a thanks as well to the number of individuals that contributed on the task force, not just the task force, but other justices, judges, CIOs, and CEOs that contributed, that we brought in for knowledge and contributions through our efforts. So thanks to everybody.
And just one closing comment for today, and that is Jake Chatters let go that he has empty shelf space. He prefers all of his documents to be digital rather than analog. But I have prepared presentation copies, first editions, by the way, which will be very valuable sometime down the road, of the technology plans. And we'll provide each of our leads with that, as well as our IT staff from the Judicial Council that supported this effort. So thank you, Chief. Thank you, Council.
Chief, can I ask one question? Are the panelists going to return tomorrow?
Probably not.
I probably can.
And call in and be available for questions.
Let's do that.
Chief, I only bring that up not for any reason other than to just commend the committee and the team for their comprehensiveness in the development of the governance and the strategic plan, and the inclusiveness in its development as well. Wonderful work, and is something that we should all be very proud of.
Agreed.
Hear, hear. Thank you. We'll resume this matter tomorrow in our regular business meeting. We stand in recess. We will reconvene at 4:30 in the auditorium to begin our Judicial Council Distinguished Service Awards and the Benjamin J. Aranda III Access to Justice Award. Thank you. The next agenda item we'll take up is our continuation of item 4 from yesterday afternoon.
All right. And you were calling item 4, Chief, and we did have public comment for item 4, and this is Ms. Annabel Garay again, if she'd come forward. Is there anybody else who would like to speak on item 4 from yesterday? If so, please raise your hand or come forward. Seeing no one else. All right, Ms. Garay. And again, I'll give you a 60-second warning.
Thank you again for letting me speak to you today. Chief Justice and members of the Council, I'm here again on behalf of the California Federation of Interpreters, and we want to speak specifically about the technology plan, and a portion of this includes video remote interpreting. Our position on VRI has always been that if used appropriately, this technology could play a specific and limited role in expanding language access in the courts. However, what seems to be a rush to implement VRI without thorough review, statewide standards, or stakeholder input has led to a lot of frustration among the interpreter workforce. There does not seem to be just one plan to come up with a comprehensive VRI strategy. There appears to be multiple approaches. On the one hand, the Judicial Council Working Group, where stakeholders provided input for the statewide language access plan, spoke earlier today, and they had VRI recommendations. On the other hand, we have this technology committee that has also recommendations, but that conflict with the language access working group's plan. It has not received thorough input from the interpreter workforce. Ultimately, neither of these plans will matter because several local courts are already pushing VRI implementation on their own in bargaining, regardless of what any Judicial Council reports say. This is why there needs to be one clear and open process that includes interpreter representatives and other stakeholders to identify the best practices, limitations, and uses for VRI. We ask you to consider the consequences of not developing minimum standards and guidelines for local courts prior to implementing VRI. Our courts serve the largest population of limited English proficient individuals nationwide. It is our greatest concern that VRI will be used without appropriate safeguards to protect meaningful access to justice for these litigants. Research on VRI consistently shows that in-person, on-site interpreters are preferred. This is because VRI limits access to the interpreter and the scope and quality of language access provided. While the tactical plan before you references states with VRI for Spanish language interpreting, there's simply not a need for this in our state. We also question whether VRI use can be justified in other frequently used languages in areas where there are enough interpreters to provide these services in person. California has a distinguished employment system and the nation's largest workforce of certified and registered interpreters, with over 1,800 interpreters working as either court employees or contractors. Having two different Judicial Council committees releasing conflicting reports in the same week only confuses and complicates matters. We were glad to hear the technology committee mention yesterday that it plans to return in October to address the language access components and align it with the language access plan. This is why we ask that you table the portions of the technology plan that pertain to VRI and language access pending the language access plan process. Again, CFI would like to see this technology implemented in a way that will work and not jeopardize any party's right to meaningful access to the courts.
Thank you, Ms. Gray. Chief, that concludes public comment.
Thank you, Judge Herman.
All right. Thank you, Chief. And I believe the presenters from yesterday are on the phone, and also, of course, Justice Ashley Gerst is here, and I'd very much like to thank her for all the work that she put in on this project, tremendous amount of work on the governance side. So with that, I think there's been a motion and a second, and if there are any questions, I'd be glad to answer.
And Judge Herman, this is Rob. I'd also like to make a couple of comments later on or at this point whenever appropriate.
Okay. And I believe there has not yet been a motion and a second.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But Judge O'Malley, did you?
I did.
Made the motion to move the recommendations 1-4. Was there a second by Judge Jackson?
Yes.
Thank you. And then open for discussion and questions and observation remarks.
And I believe Rob O'Young said that he wanted, one of the presenters said that he wanted to make a comment. So may we invite that at this point?
Yes.
Rob, go ahead, please.
Okay, terrific, great. I just wanted to, again, thank the council and thank the sponsorship. I did want to reemphasize that these recommendations really focus on the use of technology to support and increase the access to justice. But as Judge Herman mentioned, it really depends on proper funding for technology. I also want to mention that it's really been a privilege and a pleasure to work with the members of the task force, the three leads, Judge Slough, Jake Chatters, Brian Cotta, and Judge Herman as the chair, who really has provided amazing leadership throughout this process. The different perspectives, knowledge, and expertise of all the team members really was impressive as we were working through all of this. And I think really actually the task force was a pilot for one of the key concepts that was described in the documents, and that was working together as an IT community. And really the IT community is not just IT staff, it's really CEOs, judges, court staff, administrators, judicial counsel staff, all working together with a focus on technology and managing technology. And in fact, actually, Sonori Ogata, who's the CIO for the Los Angeles Superior Court, and a contributor to some of the key concepts in the recommendations, actually once observed at a court IT director's meeting, that we're actually smarter together. And then after, you know, working on this task force, I think his observations apply to the entire branch. When we leverage the wealth of experience and expertise across the branch and the solutions that are created, the decisions that are made, and the results that are achieved are really so much better when we work together and that we leverage what everyone brings to the table. So again, I want to thank the chief and thank the task force for all their hard work on this set of recommendations.
Thank you, Mr. O'Young. We certainly have appreciated your, lending your expertise to this area. It's helped us a great deal, and we appreciate your commitment to it. I believe Justice Hull and then Judge Rosenberg have comments or questions.
Thank you, Chief. I just, before we vote on what is on the subject of the motion, I was wondering if Judge Herman or one of your members, your colleagues, do you have any thoughts or reaction to our speaker's suggestion request that we somehow sever out the video remote interpreting?
Yeah, I really don't think we need to do that, Justice Hall. Actually, what the speaker may not know is that the CTAC has worked closely with the Language Access Committee. There's not been a lack of communications, nor do I believe that what's currently in the technology plan is not aligned or is inconsistent with what Language Access has brought forward. And part of the plan, by the way, is to establish the statewide standards and address best practices relative to the technology itself, because it's important in order for VRI to successfully allow language access for the technical equipment to be of high quality. So In terms of the tactical plan, that's part of the tactical plan. Best practices on the technology side, and then of course with input from all stakeholders, including court interpreters.
All right, thank you.
Because of this point, I'm going to have David Yamasaki go, then Judge Rosenberg.
Well, Justice Hull asked the question I was going to ask, so I'm good.
Thank you.
So the only point that I wanted to make was that the recommendations that are included in this plan are based on proven remedies to the issues that we face here throughout our state. And with respect to some of the concerns that we heard from earlier in the public comment period, there is a necessity to recognize the need to meet and confer regionally. And so we have to be respectful of preserving that requirement rather than establishing one solution that has to be implemented statewide. And again, I think there has been great consideration to what is proven to work in the regions based on a dialogue that took place there. And I think the content of the plan considers some of the variables that have been proven to be very successful in those locations. So thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Alexander.
I missed part of the discussion yesterday because I had to leave early. But my question has to do with the funding, because I know it says when funding is restored, and I'm not exactly sure what that is. But it also, in the funding part, listed many things that they gave examples of what was done in the past or what has been completed already in some of the courts, such as e-filing, e-citation, self-represented litigant forms, what Alan Carlson called the magic money machine, CCPOR, CHP e-citations. The courts that haven't got to the point where they're even doing those things, where did they fit in the funding scheme?
Well, I think, as I said yesterday, you know, what I said yesterday is that we really are in a zero-sum game here across the board in terms of funding, and not just for technology, but for any infrastructure type project, because of the 1% reserve, because of Tri-Court Trust Fund and the IMF fund being really the only sources of funding. So, you know, the go forward. This is a plan. This is a look forward. So the go forward look. Is how do we develop a funding stream for technology? And, you know, the way we do that is through outreach to our sister branches. And so it's going to depend upon that outreach to develop a funding source. So in other words, this is not a funding solution document. This is we realize we need funding, and you know, we have to pursue a course that can convince the other two branches that technology is a necessary efficiency. Again, as I said yesterday, I was somewhat heartened by Mr. Cohen's comments that apparently at the DOF and the governor's office, they realize as well the importance of technology in terms of not only efficiency, but better access to our users.
Thank you. I see no further hands raised. All in favor of the recommendations 1 through 4, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Matter is approved. Thank you. I don't think any of us can truly convey how you've been able to, your committee, Jim, Judge Herman, taking us to really understand this and give us such a detailed plan, working with our sister branches and getting the kind of anticipation and excitement, I think, from our executive branch, and knowing that our efficiencies, a great deal of them, will lie in technology. So this is a long-term guide for the court, and we all appreciate your hard work. And not that many of us understand the language, but we get the concept. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Chief. And really, it was the effort of the committee, and we much appreciate the support from you and from the council. Thank you.
Thank you.